Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
It's lovely to have you join us today. Now let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we come before thee today in the name and upon the merits of Christ's atoning work. We come before thee as the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, we know that we are accepted in the Beloved. We pray that as we turn to thy precious, holy and inspired word, and as it is read and proclaimed, that thy blessing would attend to it. We thank you for the promises of Scripture, that thy word shall not return unto thee void, that the word of the Lord will have free course and be glorified. May these things be so today. And as I proclaim the message of the gospel, I will be trusting thee for power, that thine shall never fail. May words which thou thyself shall give, may they prevail. We ask it in Jesus' precious and worthy and holy name. Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading today is taken from the book of Acts, and it's the Acts of the Apostles, the 16th chapter, and we are reading from verse 25 to verse 34. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. May the Lord bless the reading of his inspired word to our hearts today. We're going to have our second hymn at this point in our service. It's entitled, "Not Have I Gotten." And the first verse reads, "Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace."
Thank you.
want to speak to you today on the conversion of the Philippian jailer as it is recorded in the portion that we read together. This passage of Scripture sets before us the truth and the fact that God at times directly intervenes in the affairs of this life to vindicate his servants and his cause. Paul and Silas had been unjustly cast into prison for no other crime than preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing a young woman transformed by her receiving of the gospel. When they were cast into prison, the Lord intervened directly in a wonderful and a marvelous way to vindicate his two servants. I might add that God intervened in answer to prayer because Paul and Silas were praying when the Lord stepped into the situation. And you will see that in verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now, the Lord intervened in two ways. Firstly, there was the shaking of the prison. You'll see that in verse 26. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. I believe that this is an example. When God providentially stepped in to events and sent a clear message to honour his people. And he did so that night. He showed his displeasure at the way his servants had been treated with their imprisonment and their beating. He did so by sending an earthquake to that prison cell and to that prison itself. And by doing so, he was vindicating his servants and demonstrating his power on their behalf. But he demonstrated his power on their behalf in another way. Not only the shaking of the prison, but in the salvation and the conversion of the jailer. The man whose job it was to oversee the running of that prison. It is evident that this jailer was converted. If you take verse 30 and 31 as the focal point of this passage, he asks the question, after the earthquake has struck, after the doors of the prison had flung open, after he was on the verge of taking his own life, thinking that the prisoners had fled, he asked the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He wanted to be saved, saved from his sin, saved from judgment, saved from hell. He wanted to be saved by the Lord. And you will notice that in verse 34, it states that he was believing in God. It is evident, therefore, that this man was converted. He went on to be baptized in verse 33. And there is not only the statement that he was converted, that he was saved, but there is the evidence that followed on after it. And so this jailer, it is evident that he was converted, that he trusted the Lord, and that he became a Christian. And as such, the jailer's conversion, I believe, is a perfect example of true conversion. There are a number of things that took place in the build-up to, at the point of, and that followed after the conversion of this jailer. And I believe they present a good example of the conversion of sinners, what takes place in the build-up, at the time of, and after a sinner's conversion. I want you to firstly notice that in this jailer's experience, there was an awaking. Look at verse 27. "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep." I don't know if all prison officers sleep on night duty, but this one certainly did. He felt the prisoners were safe. safely kept away. They were in the bands and in the stocks. There was no danger of any of them escaping. And so he went to bed for the night. But suddenly, and oh how it pictures the sinner's experience, they can be going about the normal things in life, but suddenly the Lord sends something. In this case it was an earthquake. The Lord sends some providential matter into their life that stirs them and awakens them from their slumber and from their sleep. This man was awakened from his sleep before he was converted. The Bible presents man in a state of slumber, in his state of sin. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Man is pictured as being asleep. Almost, as it were, totally unconscious to his danger, to his need, and to the way that his soul can be converted. And he needs to be awakened. He needs to be stirred from that slumber and sleep to see the danger that his soul is in, to see the need that he has to trust Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5 and verse 14, cried, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." The sinner is dead in sin, sleeping the sleep of death. And he needs to arise. He needs to awaken. He needs to be conscious of his need and his danger if he's ever to get right with God. Robert Murray McShane wrote a beautiful hymn. And in that hymn, we read these words, "When free grace awoke me." It is by the grace and the mercy and the working of God in the life of a sinner that awakens their senses to see their need of salvation. My friend, do you see your need? Do you see your lost and undone condition before God, condemned under the law of God? Do you see your need for salvation as this man saw his need? There was not only an awakening, there was a trembling. Look at verse 29. It says, "And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling." Oh, this trembling shows us and teaches us that not only with this man, but sinners who have been stirred and awakened to their spiritual need and danger, that there's a trembling before God. I quoted McShane's hymn, that same verse, it declares these words, "When free grace awoke me by life from on high, then legal fear shook me, I trembled to die." The man or woman that has been awakened to their awful load of sin, my, they tremble. They tremble at the thought of meeting God in their sin. They fear to fall into the hands of the living God. They realize that their sin deserves the wrath and judgment of God in this life and in the life to come. And why God is a loving God. He's a God of justice, a God of holiness, a God who will judge and punish sin. And that causes men to tremble. My friend, have you trembled in your sin? The Apostle Paul, the man who counseled this jailer to salvation, he had the very same experience. For as he rode into Damascus and the light shone round about him and he heard those words from the Lord, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Tells us that Saul trembled. He was fearful to meet the Lord in his sin. I remind you today that it is a fearful thing for sinners to fall into the hands of the living God. And that ought to cause you to tremble. It ought to put the fear of God in your soul. Yes, there was an awakening to his need. There was a trembling in his sin. There was an inquiring then of the Lord. Look at verse 30, this great question. Paul gave him some counseling. And he asked the question then, after Paul told him, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." And he asked the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He didn't know.
He trembled in his sin. He'd been awakened to his need, but he didn't know how he could be saved from his sin, to have the guilty conscience pacified, to have his burden taken away, to be right with it. He didn't know. He had to ask. And maybe you're listening in and that describes you. You know there's a God in heaven. You know that Jesus is his son. You know that you're a sinner. You wouldn't argue with it. And you have a concern in your heart and soul about what it means to meet God in your sin. But you don't know how to be saved. Don't be ashamed to ask the question. What a wonderful question this is. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He inquired. He wanted to be right with God. He didn't just want to be made feel better. No, he wanted saved from his sin, from the guilt of his sin, from the power of his sin, from the consequences of sin. He wanted to be saved, and he's inquiring after it. The Bible describes those that come to the Lord as those that seek the Lord. And the Bible exhorts men and women to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He'll not always be found. As Noah went into the ark and the door was closed, the people could no longer get into the ark. So the Lord will not always be found. Oh, someday the door of salvation will close and you'll never be able to enter it. You need to seek him while he may be found. Seek ye me and ye shall live, the Lord said through Amos's prophet. My friend, have you sought the Lord? When the jailer sought the Lord, he got an answer. There was an awakening of his soul. There was a trembling in his sin. There was an inquiring for salvation. Then you'll notice there was a believing. Verse 31, the answer came back. They said, Paul and Silas both, they uttered those words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. In other words, if thy house believes, they shall be saved also. Notice how simple the message is. Paul didn't say to him, well, sir, we've started a church in this great city of Philippi, the family of Lydia have joined this church, and the young demon-possessed woman has joined this church, and if you join our church, you will be saved. Or if you let me baptize you, you will be saved. Or if you sit with us to remember the Lord's death, you will be saved. Or if you clean up your life, don't treat prisoners anymore the way you treated me and Silas and beat us and threw us into this prison, put our feet in the stocks unjustly. And if you stop doing that, you'll be saved. No, none of those things. So simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been awakened to your need. You've trembled to die in your sin. You're seeking the Lord. Now the simple step is believe. My friend, do you believe? I had a very good friend. He wasn't brought up in a Christian home. But he learned the gospel in his teenage years. And he was baffled by the simplicity of it. And that verse struck his heart, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And walking home one night from a social event, as he was walking down a hill to his home, it came to his heart, I do believe, I am saved. And he puts the time of his conversion to that very moment. He believed and he was saved, just like the jailer. There was a believing, my friend. Salvation is by faith. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Have you believed? I ask you the question that Jesus asked the blind man in the temple. Dost thou believe the Son of God? Oh, there's one final thing I leave with you. I only have time to share it very briefly. There was not only an awakening and a trembling, an inquiring and a believing. There was a confirming. You see, this man showed forth the evidence that he was saved. You can't be saved and not know it. You can't be saved and not show it, is the old cliche of W.P. Nicholson. This man evidenced his salvation. He received the word of the Lord in verse 32. He relieved the apostles of their suffering in verse 33. He rejoiced with them in the fellowship of the gospel in verse 34. And these are just some of the marks that a man or woman would have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul. There's a going on. My friend, if you exercise faith in Christ, you will have an interest in the Word of God. You'll want to receive it. You'll seek to do good to others, and you will rejoice in the fellowship of the church. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. May you be converted to Christ, even as the jailer was, and experience eternal life within your soul. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful examples in thy word of true conversion. And we pray today that many who hear the word, like this jailer, will be awakened from their sin, will tremble to die in their sin, will seek the Lord for salvation, and believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. We pray this for Jesus' sake and for God's glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.